Hey, everybody. Welcome. I'm in the car. We're driving. Good gravy. Good golly. Good molly. Good blah, blah, blah. How are you? I hope you're all well. I'm great. Thanks for asking. Helpful Snowman radio episode here. So it's a Saturday morning. Well, no, it's afternoon. I'm headed to go help a friend put up insulation in a basement, which I have no idea how to do. So hopefully he's got a good idea of what he's doing. It's one of those, like, adult responsibility job things where you just can't stop thinking, I don't know what I'm doing, but if someone's very specific, I'll go and start helping, and by the end, we'll probably be almost helpful. You know what I mean? I'll almost be a competent stand-in for a regular guy on this sort of duty. This morning, it's funny, like, this adult stuff. You know, you start getting into these adult things, like your friends start having things like houses, right? So then there's house stuff to do at their houses, and you end up helping with these events. And that's how you end up doing these sort of things that you didn't really ever... You wonder how people learned how to do this, and you're like, oh, they probably had adult friends, and one time this guy needed that, and that guy needed this, and soon enough, you're like an old hand at all this crap. It's kind of like this morning, I felt like I had an adult sort of morning. I woke up, I had some coffee, filled my entire apartment with smoke because I was seasoning a cast iron Dutch oven. You know, all this stuff that you're like, oh, these are the things that a grown-up doesn't... Like, I don't know what I did on the weekend as a kid anymore. I know there was Sega Genesis involved, but that's all I can really remember. You know, I don't know how I fill... How the fuck did I fill 2 full days as a kid with nothing? I mean, you have nothing to do. You have nowhere to be. No one's counting on you for anything, really. I mean, maybe your mom wants you to mow the lawn. But if you don't, there's really no personal consequence. That's probably the difference between being an adult and a kid, right? As an adult, if I don't clean my apartment, I have to live in my dirty apartment, you know? But as a kid, it seems like that stuff doesn't affect you. It's weird because, okay, as you grow, they say your palate develops, right? You taste different things, and that's why adults like more things that are sour, stuff like that, bitter. But I think your palate sort of goes away in terms of what you can tolerate. Like as a kid, you know, I could eat 1,000,000 pounds of candy, or I could live basically in a garbage can. You know, I just considered the house a large garbage can. It wouldn't bother me to, I don't know, be in bed, eat Thanksgiving in bed, and just put the plate next to me and roll over and go to sleep. You know, and then wake up to the plate crashing onto the floor. I did have a wood floor as a kid. I didn't realize how spoilt I was until years later when I had horrible brownish-gray carpet. And I'm thinking, man, those wood floors. Why do they make carpet floors? Why don't they just make them all wood? So much nicer. You can always put a rug on top. But not everyone's living these adult lives. I feel the need to inform you. I woke up this morning to a familiar noise. Whee! Which bothered me the first couple times I woke up to it until I figured out, you know, and now I've heard it enough. At the lake by my house, people race gas-powered remote control boats. Now, there's a thing I like to do to challenge myself every once in a while. Like when I come up with something like, let's say, steroids. And I'll say to a friend, do you think you could get steroids in 24 hours? Like, let's say you had to. They have your mom at gunpoint. And they're saying, get some steroids in the next 24 hours and this bitch gets to live. I'm not calling your mom a bitch. I'm being the captor. And I don't think he really thinks your mom's a bitch either. I think he's just doing that for effect. To make it scary. Mass effect. And so, you know, I say, do you think you could get steroids in 24 hours? Keeping in mind, okay, you couldn't just rob some place at gunpoint, right? Because you have to continue a normal life after this. But do you think you could get them through means, like finding a friend who knows a guy or something like that is sort of what I'm talking about? A remote control gas-powered boat is one of those things, right? And the challenge isn't could you get one, because you can get anything on the internet. But could you get one in 24 hours? You know, it's 1:48. When I look at this clock tomorrow and it says 1:48, could I be holding a gas-powered boat that's ready to go? I don't think so. And this is mostly due to the fact that I have no fucking idea where you even begin the search for a gas-powered boat. I mean, I am sure there's a store somewhere where they've got a whole lineup of them on a shelf, you know, next to a fake blue boat-looking background that makes you think, oh, man, love to get out there and race that old kitty puppy dog man boat. Would love it. I can't wait to get my hands on that tiny little boat, which has the tiniest little engine, but it's a real engine. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's like a motor tinkering thing. But in which case, I would say this. If you're really into tiny little motors and things like that, just buy an old motorcycle. You can buy a beat-to-shit old motorcycle for $500, and then you have a motorcycle. You don't have to tell everyone, this is the room in my house where I build little tiny boats. You tell them, this is where my garage is, and look at this old motorcycle I'm working on. And no one's ever going to question that. No one's going to be like, why aren't you done yet, you know? And you don't you can drive it around if you want, and you don't have to. And you can annoy me with an old motorcycle, believe me. You can annoy the fucking shit out of me. You know, when those bikes go by and they hurt to have go by you? Just turn it into one of those fuckers. So I don't get this, and they're racing them around in a circle, and I guess you win and some people lose. These people have trailers they set up along the edge of the lake, you know, and there's an announcer on a loudspeaker who's like, coming up next, the best boat in the world versus Cigarette Boat 9, coming in around the final turn, we'll see who the leader, and they always tip over. Whenever I go walking past in a rage fugue, I see one tip over and someone has to go. Then, this is the best part. They're racing these tiny little motorboats around. Whee! One of them tips over, so you have to go out there and right it by hand, I guess. No one's developed a device that flips a boat. That would be, you know, a crazy thing to do. And they go out there in a fucking rowboat. It's just some idiot in a rowboat with oars, you know? You're like, why wouldn't you... Why wouldn't you get a little motorboat? I mean, why can you race these tiny little motorboats that bug the shit out of me, and you can't drive a regular motorboat, or you can't figure out a better way to get out there? And I can't figure out what these people are doing all day. Because watching them, too, is a little like watching swimming, where it's just kind of a streak in the water. It's just a little wave. There's wake. That's about it. I mean, there's not much to see. It's a guy. It's like watching a guy play Xbox. I mean, it's very close to that. If your Xbox controller had a fucking stupid-looking antenna that was 10 feet long coming out of the front, that's what it would be. That is exactly what it would look like. So I don't know what that's about. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know how they're there all fucking day. I mean, they gotta be... I picture it, too, as being a lot of dads who are like, my son is gonna love this, and... They go out and do it, and the kid is sort of into it, but after about 2 hours, he's just like, Dad, can we have some money to go get candy at the grocery store? You know, Dad, can we have quarters to go play the arcade machine at Randy's All-American Grill? You know, they don't want to race the boats anymore. They just want to, and probably the dads don't really let them race either. They're probably like, now, son, I want you to watch how I do it, and maybe next time, maybe I'll let you race, you know. I don't understand these little hobbies like that. They're just so time-consuming and not... They don't seem fun to me. I would rather play Mario Kart than that, because Mario Kart, I don't have to be fucking just standing out in the summer heat all day in stupid shorts, you know, and a hat that's got a fish on it. So, I mean, I've got, you know, I'll play Mario Kart, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I could be filling my home with smoke while I'm seasoning a pan. So it's kind of a I don't know. And you can always just quit. You can be done, and it's not like, eh, I don't know. I gotta go home, take a shower, take care of these multiple sunburns. God knows I've been in the sun all day. There's also a guy on my block who recently purchased what appears to be a gas-powered remote control car. And it's, like, bigger than a normal remote control car. I don't know, it's the size of, like, a mechanic's creeper, maybe a little smaller. And that thing's annoying as shit, too. I mean, the first time I heard it, I thought someone was coming on a scooter, a bad one, a really bad one. But no, it was some guy, just driving a tiny car via remote control up and down the street. And this was clearly an adult. This was not like a kid. If you're a kid, I sort of understand, because you can't drive a real car. You know what I mean? And I get driving go-karts once in a while, right? Because you can just drive crazily. You don't have to adhere to the normal rules of the road. But the thing is, in the go-kart, I mean, I don't want to own a go-kart. Let's put it that way. I don't wish to, you know, oh, I wish I had a go-kart track. I would like to go drive one for 10 minutes, play some mini golf, eat a horrible soft pretzel just made out of goo, wheat-based goo, and go home. I don't need to do this. You're buying a remote control car. How much are you going to drive this thing? I mean, you'd have to drive it like once a week to be worth it for 10 miles a week, right? I mean, and you can only drive it as far as you can see. So unless you're getting in a car and driving it next to your car, you know, someone else drives the car, you drive the mini car, I don't really... what's the point? I don't know. So these are like the things that other adults are doing, you know, which are stupid, but do make me feel better about my own life when I wake up in Superman pajama pants and play a little Mario Kart while seasoning a pan. I'm like, well, I did one thing. I mean, I'm not bothering anybody else with my activities. That's a start, right? That's a way to be a good human. I've been playing some video games lately, a little. I thought I would talk about one. I think this will be okay even if you don't play video games, though, because I think I'm going to be kind of on your side with this one. So there's a game called Fallout 3. And, you know, I'll just take you from the start. The thing I have that's a big problem with video games, I don't really like the beginning of most games. Because the beginning is either great and then ends up being 10 times better than the rest of the game, so the rest of the game's just a fucking huge letdown, you know, because you're wanting to recapture that magic. Or the beginning of the game is just like the worst case of someone's telling you, they can't do this. They can't show you a screen with just no background and say, okay, X is punch, Y is shoot, A is reload, B is duck. Boom, done. Start playing. Or they can't just throw you in and let you figure it out yourself. You know, which I would be fine with as well, provided that the control scheme wasn't too complicated. They have to have, like, a little friend in there who kind of tells you what to do. And they're like, hey, maybe you should duck now, huh? And you have to duck. Which I hate that, because I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it feel real. They're trying to make it feel like I'm not playing a video game. But it's worse. It feels worse. It's like if, you know, you went to a play and Othello at the beginning was reminding you that you can't smoke in the theater and he was talking Shakespeare style. You know, he was saying it with rhyming couplets or iambic pentameter. But he was talking about cigarettes, which don't remotely exist, right? In his day, I mean, he's like rhyming menthol, Marlboro menthol with something. You're like, I don't think that was a thing for you. And it's cute, it's different, but I don't like it. And it takes longer that way. You know, Zelda is a classic. I got one of the Zelda games for the Wii. Took fucking an hour before you even got to a cave, you know, where you got to start doing I was like, where are the caves? Where are the monsters? Why don't I have a sword? I don't want to shoot a scarecrow with a slingshot. I don't want to go fucking fishing. I don't want to do that. I don't want to shoot a honey beehive down off of a wall and then go pick it up and go give it to some guy who then gives me, you know, a piece of cardboard. And he's like, maybe you could use this as a shield for a while. I'm an adult. I'll just send you out into the world with this, you know. Seems safe. I don't know. You seem to be wearing a long t-shirt as clothes anyway with a belt around the middle. So what do you know? So I don't like the beginning part of the game because it's just fucking boring. And it's like all, it's just business, but not, it's not what I came for. So on that note, I started playing this game Fallout 3. Now on the front is what appears to be, you know, a gray post-apocalyptic wasteland. And a scary-looking guy's in, you know, a gas mask and a helmet. Kind of Nazi-looking. No face. And a huge gun. And I'm like, all right, this seems to be about what I want. You know? I want to shoot some shit. Wasteland. Whatever. So you start the game. And it, you know, it has this little thing that explains the backstory that, you know, a bunch of bombs went off. The whole world's like a wasteland. A bunch of people escaped into Fallout shelters. You're in, you know, Vault 1010 or some shit, you know. I guess the number is significant in some way to someone. To me, I was just like, all right, I don't care about this, but let's move on. So you're born in there. And, you know, no one ever leaves Vault 1010 or, you know, 28 Sector 7G Vault. And that's the story. The beginning of the game is literally you being born. You know, you hear a baby crying. Everything on the screen's kind of blurry. To your left and your right is your mom's thighs, her naked thighs. And you're looking at your dad and a bunch of doctors. And they're like, oh, he's here. Oh, what a miracle. And it looks like he's a... And then you have to select if you're going to be a boy or a girl. Which I don't really understand because... I don't, you know, does that make a difference in the game? Maybe. I don't know. I picked boy because I'm a boy. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I could pick girl. I'm not, you know, I would like to know what kind of girl I was going to be first. I mean, but if we're going with traditional gender roles, I'll pick boy just because I feel like in these adventure type stories and cartoons and things I was raised on, the boys got to do everything fun. Sorry, ladies. I didn't make them. I just watched them. So, you pick boy, you know, and then he's like, what a beautiful boy. Let's call him, you know, and then you have to put in your name. So, you know, of course, the temptation on these things is always, I was thinking, all right, maybe the technology is advanced enough that whatever name I put in, he's going to say. You know, he's going to get real excited and be like, ah, my son, let's call him Fuckface. What a fine name, you know, or let's call him Shithead, or let's just call him Double Penetration Boy Man. So that's what, you know, the kind of thing I like to put in. Of course, I put in something weird, I can't even remember. And you put it in and he just says, yes, a fine name. And I was like, okay, well, that was a bust. Should say below it's not going to say it out loud. Because it's not really that entertaining. And so far, no one has used my name in any way. So I don't know why that was necessary. I mean, I don't know. It's just like a cheap special effect that you get to make a decision of sorts. But that's not, okay. It's not really a decision. It's just kind of a little additional help you get to provide for no fucking reason. Then it says, let's use the genetic encoder, see what he's going to look like as an adult. And I think that's a pretty weird thing to do as a parent, especially you didn't want to see the sex of the baby. You're just discovering now if it's a boy or a girl, right? According to the narrative thus far when he's like, oh, and look, it's a, you know, and he's surprised. However, that was too much to know. However, finding out exactly what your kid is going to look like in 40 years, that seems like a good use of time and technology to you. That's what science is going to be about for you. Be like, let's just advance his age and just see if he's going to be hot. I mean, what the fuck's the point of that? It's probably, and, you know, I don't, that doesn't seem possible either, just because, I mean, you might be able to get a vague idea. It's like when you see those posters and it's, you know, this person has been lost for 20 years. Here's what I think they would look like. And it's like, really? That's what you think they would look like? Are you taking into account that they've probably been tortured in a basement for the last 20 years? Or is that just if they've been, you know, using moisturizer? I mean, they've been using products by Dove. Which one is it? How are you arranging this life for this guy? So, you know, then you get to pick what your face looks like, which I hate doing, you know, because, and I never want to go with the original face because it always looks like a male model. And I'm like, fuck that shit. This is a post-apocalyptic wasteland. I don't want him to look like that. So I start adjusting things, but there's too many factors, and I don't really know enough about faces to know what makes a normal face and what makes an abnormal face and what makes an abnormal, funny-looking face and what makes just a complete fucked-up disaster. You know what I'm saying? So I start working, rearranging this face. Total mutant after a very short time. And, you know, you can adjust too many things. There's too much left to the user. I mean, does it really matter how wide his nostrils are versus how long his nose? I mean, there were 5 different things you could do to the nose alone. This would have been a game when I was a kid. Just making these faces would have been a game. We had a game when I was a kid called Silly Faces Game. And what you would do is it had different eyes, nose, mouth, ears, and you'd put them on these little circles and make different looking faces, potentially silly ones. That was a game. Now I'm doing the same thing, and it's much more advanced. I haven't done anything yet, by the way. Okay, I've picked a gender. I've picked a name, sort of. I mean, in theory, I don't even know that it's in there in any significant way. I just know I picked one. I did that. And, you know, now I'm picking my appearance. I mean, I don't really care. And I have not seen, you know, I'll end up playing maybe an hour. I haven't seen my own face. No one said, what an ugly bastard, or like, boy, do I hate a redhead kid, or anything. They just, there you are. So you pick your whole appearance. Your dad's like, oh, and he's going to be so handsome. You know, and you're like, oh, okay. Good one. Thanks, Dad. You know, and I bet my mom thinks I'm going to be really smart, too. So you pick all that, and then, you know, your mom has a heart attack or something, starts dying. And you cut away. So then it says, you know, 1 year later. So you're one. And there's a whole stage where you're in a playpen. Your dad's like, I've got to go run out. I'll be right back. You break out of the playpen. You walk around the room. You look in a toy box. And, you know, you pick some features or something. And then your dad comes and is like, you broke out of your playpen. What a smart boy. Cut to 7-8 years later, something like that. And you're at your own birthday party, you know. And they give you some kind of electronic Casio watch thing. And everyone's sitting around saying happy birthday. There's an asshole kid, bully kid there who's like, you know, invited to the party for no apparent reason. Just to be a dick, basically. And be like, hey, your cake sucks. Give me that thing. You know, push kids in the pool. Throw presents in the pool. All that shit. So, you know, you go through and you just have a birthday party. And literally the purpose of the birthday party sequence seems to be to make small talk with the adult guests. Every 10-year-old's favorite thing. Not to mention every video game player's ultimate fantasy. You know, I can talk to someone and be like, how are you? Do you like being a police officer in the vault? You know, and the guys... I don't like this either. You get these conversational options, which are like, do you enjoy being a police officer in the vault? Which I'm like, I don't want to say that. That's a stupid fucking thing to say. You know, it's realistic because that's what I would say at a party and then regret it later. But that's not what I want to say in this fucking game. So, you know, I say it. I'm like, how do you feel about being a cop? And he's like, eh, how do you think I feel? It sucks balls. What are you, an idiot? You know, and then I have to say, fair enough. That's, you know, I shouldn't have asked that. I didn't really have a choice, but he doesn't know. It's part of the game, and then I don't get the option to say that it's a game. So you have a birthday party. Then it's like cut to 5 years later or something. And you have to go to school and take a multiple choice test. You know, and I guess this determines some of what your skills will be in the game. There are different sort of skills you can have, like, I don't know, punching or lock picking or whatever. Which I don't like that either. Some of these games have these skills that you have to work on, right? Which is fine, except I really have no idea what I'm going to do. And I still don't really know what the fucking game is. I was just born, I walked around a playpen. So how am I supposed to know? You know, it'd be like if when you were one, they said, what do you want to do when you grow up? Because you can start working on your job skills. And I'd be like, I don't even know what that means. I don't even have a full set of teeth. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to... This is fucked. This whole thing is fucked. And that's kind of how the game is. It wants you to make all these pretty big decisions while you're still vastly uninformed about why or what you're doing or how this is all happening, you know? And then, so, I mean, I'm sitting in class taking a multiple choice test in a game. And, you know, it's better than the kind of tests you take in school, of course. There's nothing about, like, the anatomy of a plant cell or some bullshit. It's, like, theoretical stuff, you know? It kind of reminded me of when I applied to work at Target or Walmart. They make you take, like, a 150-question psychological profile. And basically what it is they're just asking you to lie. They want you to tell a lot of lies about... You know, it'll have a question on there, and it's like, you see another employee steal one slice of turkey from the deli to feed his starving family. And he says to you, don't tell the manager, I can't afford to buy this, but I'm literally going to die of starvation if I don't. And it's, you know, and the question is, what do you do? And it's like, tell the manager. And the B is like, don't tell the manager, but tell him he shouldn't have taken it. Or C, just keep quiet and go about your business. Which is what literally everyone would do. Because you're like, I work at fucking Walmart. I'm not getting embroiled in a situation of some guy losing his job for a slice of turkey. Fuck that shit. And I don't really care. And you're not paying me anything. And you do pay a guy to just sit and watch screens all day. So fuck him. Let him do it. But because it's a multiple choice test to get a job, you know, you have to say, oh, I mean, I would inform the manager immediately. I mean, what else could... I can't even really... It's funny that you say this is multiple choice, because I only see one clear choice, which is to inform the manager immediately that I have no care for my fellow man. Which is also crazy, because honestly, if I ran a store and I was hiring someone and that's what they answered, I'd be like, okay, well, you cannot work here because you're a bad person. I mean, I don't really want to be bothered with single slice of turkey theft ever. Please don't do that. So I take the test. Then I get in a minor scuffle. I would like to just point out at this juncture, I haven't shot anybody. I have not punched anybody. I have not stabbed anyone. Nothing of the sort has happened. Almost got in a scuffle at the birthday party, which was promptly broken up by a cop, you know? Which I was like, well, thank God I didn't get in a fucking fight in a video game. That would have been a... That would have sucked. Oh, that would have been a tragedy. Oh, my God. How would I have ever come back from such hardship and pain of being in a video game fight? You know? Oh, my God. Oh, what if I'd hurt someone? What if he'd been... I would have regretted it the rest of my life. You know, keeps me up at night just thinking about it. I did have a quick dream last night that I had a gun and I was, you know, cleaning it or something and accidentally shot it out the window of an apartment and it, you know, it hit a playground. And it didn't hit anybody. There was no kids or anything that got hit. It seemed like everything was fine. But I just, in the dream, you know, and there's a hole in the screen that the bullet went through. And I was in the dream thinking, well, maybe this happens. Maybe people just fire guns on accident and no one finds out and you just kind of go about your day. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, I should cut out the bullet hole on the screen so it's a larger hole so it doesn't look like a fucking bullet hole. And maybe, I don't know. I don't think I really want to call the cops at this point. So maybe we're cool. Anyway, so I take the test. I get in a minor fist fight with some, you know, tough boys in the hallway. Then, you know, there's a female friend who says, like, boy, that was some test. Let's go have lunch. I spent the next 15 minutes walking around these two or three rooms trying to figure out where lunch happens. Couldn't figure it out. I had no idea what I was doing or where I was going. It seemed like every door was locked in a way that I could not, you know, I thought I had the lockpicking skill, but I guess that's not allowed at that point. I mean, you know, so I just walked around, looking around, talking to people, and the people, you know, it started breaking down the game. I suspected there was a problem because I finished the test, gave the test to the teacher, you know. I mean, this is a game, again. I handed in a test to a teacher for a grade, for points. I don't know. And then I come out, you know, and I run into my dad. And he's like, good luck on the test today, son. And I was like, what the fuck? I already took the test. So anyway, then that's when I quit playing. I was like, I don't know. I failed at the mission of lunch. I mean, I'm stymied by this first puzzle. Lunch. How do I find a lunch in this... in this world. And I'm not even in the post-apocalyptic part either. I mean, it's kind of shitty looking, but it's a bunker, and it seems that things are running smoothly. So, you know, I was just like, I don't know, man. If lunch is the thing that's going to kill me here, if the puzzle of lunch is too much, this game might be too much for me. So that's my experience playing that game. I don't know. It's just funny because I was listening to another show, Gameological and Stereo. I want to give them credit for starting this conversation in my brain, but I feel like they didn't quite get there. They were talking about Mario, and what was always fun about Mario games is that they have, like, a sense of wonder, right? You know, I remember playing the original Mario in the arcade, where you would put in a quarter and it would give you, I don't know, 3 minutes to play, or you'd have, you know, X number of lives. And, you know, you'd be going along, then you go down in the castle, and there's hidden mushrooms you would find. I remember, you know, we eventually got it for the home game, and I was reading the instruction booklet, and it was saying that the pits in the Mario world were bottomless. You know, there was no end to them. So if you fell, you would just be falling forever. I thought about this for hours as a kid. I was thinking, that would be such a horrible sensation. You know, I'd been on roller coasters, and it was fun and frightening, but it also ended fairly quickly. And I was like, I wonder if you'd get used to it, or if you would just always feel like you were falling. If that goes, I mean, I was like, would you eventually fall asleep? I guess, I mean, if you were just falling, wouldn't you die of thirst and starvation? I mean, that, so you'd be falling for days until you died. You know, that's awful. It's like, what a terrible fate. What a horrible thing to have built. How is a pit endless? And then I thought maybe those turtle guys were at the bottom just digging it constantly. So it wasn't technically bottomless. It was just always getting deeper. So, you know, the bottom today is not the bottom tomorrow. I had, you know, I was like, well, I mean, they don't seem to be doing a lot. They don't seem to be good for highly skilled jobs or anything. So maybe that's what's going on. You know, so there was a little bit of horror mixed in. I mean, I would barely ever make it to Bowser beyond the first castle. And there's a level where it was a black background, and that blew my fucking mind. I was like, this looks so cool. You know, and then Mario 2 was kind of similar. I mean, Mario 2 sucked, sort of. But Mario 3 was fucking amazing. Like, you could actually pick which level you wanted to play. which was mind-blowing, and there was all these different powers and shit. I mean, what a great game. Mario 3, huh? You'd never think that a game where it's like you can turn into a raccoon, you'd be like, oh boy, I can't wait to do that, you know, and do what? Knock over garbage cans in the middle of the night and run away? Oh, good. Fun. You would never think it would be a great game. It's like the best game that's ever been made. I'm 90% sure. I mean, it's in the top five for sure. But then really blowing my mind, you know, Super Mario World on the Super Nintendo. Incredible. Great game. All these different bad guys. It seemed like every level had its own bad guys, you know, that did their own stuff and you had to figure out how to beat them. It was great. And if you've not played this, I recommend it. Super Mario 64. Holy shit. Every level's different. There's like, it seemed like there was so much to explore. You know, it's like if you're a fucking dork and you go to a big museum and you're just like, I want to see everything. I want to see every nook and cranny. You know, if there's a plaque in the bathroom that explains the history of this toilet, I'm going to read it. If that's you, Super Mario 64 is the best game ever made. Because it's an endless cornucopia of shit like that. I mean, there's everything has a hidden something, you know? And it's like every level is like a Russian nesting doll, man. There's like levels inside of levels and mini games, and you race giant penguins down a slide 1 minute, and the next minute you're inside of a fucking volcano. It never ends. It's all great. So, you know, that's a fucking great game. And even Super Mario Galaxy on the Wii is great. I mean, Super Mario 64 started it, and Super Mario Galaxy is great for a similar reason, and I think it's because there's a sense of scale. I mean, it literally felt like a world. You know, you'd be fighting a boss in Super Mario 64. When you fought Bowser, you were tiny compared to him. And the camera would pull way out. You know, so you were a pinprick on the screen. You were this tiny little dot running around, a red and blue dot, just screwing around. And Super Mario Galaxy did the same thing. You know, a lot of the times the camera was really far away from you, and it was almost difficult to see yourself, but it was cool because you really got the feeling of being a tiny... There was a whole world, a whole universe, a whole galaxy out there that you could explore. And I don't know, it just gives you a... Maybe this is like a video game, you had to be raised on video games and shit, I don't know. But it gives you this feeling of discovery and wonder that I don't think has been replicated in my real life. Which is fucking sort of sad, I'll admit. Like, exploring a weird planet on Super Mario Galaxy was probably a lot more amazing to me than seeing Yellowstone as a kid, you know. Which is fucked up, I'll admit that. And maybe today it would be different, because, you know, I do these adult things instead of racing RC cars. But it was very accessible, which was nice. I mean, if you had shitty parents, what else are you going to do? So, you know, these games really made me feel this way. And there was no real... I mean, there would be brief snippets of, hey, you got to get these fucking stars. And you're like, all right. I mean, if you remember the first Super Mario, it doesn't tell you shit. You start and it shows Mario times three. So you have three Marios and you're like, all right. And then it's da, 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 you know. You just go. And that's all you needed. And you just had to experiment. So I think that's like these long form new games are, number one, too fucking complicated. You know, I don't want to say, okay, well, I'll improve my lock-picking skill, but that's going to be at the expense of improving my conversation skills, my negotiating. I mean, I'm not really interested in that character building and all that stuff. And it's sort of like, you know, in Mario, you didn't have to say, I'm going to be really good at fireballs, but that means I can't jump as high. I mean, you do what you do, and then you trust that you have the right abilities to get through shit. That's the other thing, like these new games, these newfangled games you kids play. When you play them and you have to make these decisions, you may very well be making a decision that makes some part of the game almost impossible. And you'll get there and you'll be like, motherfucker, I really wish I'd learned how to shoot that grenade launcher, but I decided to learn how to use a pistol instead. Because I just figured, well, in my life, I've held a couple pistols, never seen a grenade launcher, so I'm going to take my chances. But in the game, you might fuck up and then not do the right one, and then you're at this part that you're just thinking, this is three times as hard as it should be, and it's not really my fault. How am I to know? How do you know? You don't. You don't. So I guess that's what I'm missing in video games. I'm trying to remember. I mean, Super Mario Galaxy. No, I mean, when I first got the Xbox, like, Gears of War and stuff was pretty amazing. I probably felt some of that. Maybe that was some of why I enjoyed it. It got it. It brought it back. But now it's gone. And I'm just sick of, playing these games that are just boring and not... I don't feel anything, man. I don't feel anything. I want to feel again. I just want to feel. Getting pretty close to my destination here, but I did want to mention a pretty important thing I started talking about on the last one, which was, I saw some ladies vacuuming in the bank, and they had those backpack, jetpack vacuum cleaners. What are those? Why do those exist? And why, most of all, what bothers me about them, I think, is why do they exist when... Why is that the closest iteration we have to the jetpack in 2012? And it's used to vacuum. You know, something... If we were jetpacking, we wouldn't need to vacuum anymore, right? Wouldn't we all just be saying, I don't vacuum. I'm pretty busy fucking flying around on a jetpack like a superhero. Yeah, that's why my house isn't vacuumed. I was jetpacking all day. Were you vacuuming? You have a jetpack and you were vacuuming today. Are you crazy? What's wrong with you? Jetpack. Go on your jetpack. You could explain everything. I mean, if you didn't do your homework, you'd be like, well, yeah, I mean, they invented the jetpack. No, of course I didn't do my homework. I have a jetpack. You have a jetpack. You're not grading the homework because you have a jetpack. No one... is without a jetpack, therefore we're not doing other shit anymore. We're jetpacking. I'm sure in 5 years we'll get tired of it, but right now, we're jetpacking. We are jetpackers. let's get these jetpacks already. I know there's a lot, it's not practical. I understand that it's not practical. Nothing that's super fun is practical, if you ask me. I mean... Is a jet ski, is that very practical? It's like, oh, well, I mean, you can't go cross water country on that. You know, you can't go super long distance. And it's like, I know, but you can fly around and there's water mist flying and hitting you and you feel great. And, you know, and a girl gets on a jet ski and she's wearing a life jacket and a bikini and it looks like she's naked. It's very strange. Look, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't think I'd want to be naked on a jet ski. I think I'd tear a delicate area almost for sure. I remember being on... Actually, you know, there's some comedian who has some joke about you never see someone who's not smiling on a jet ski. But that's not true because I remember being on a jet ski and it was like... You know, we're taking these sharp turns trying to throw each other off and I was driving, took a turn... And it was really sharp, and it was sort of like half of my ass was stuck to the seat and half wasn't. So it basically stretched my asshole out. I mean, it felt very weird. I've never had this feeling before, and it was terrible. You know, it just felt... It was unexpected. It was part of the problem. I wasn't prepared. You know, you don't get on a jet ski, and no one tells you, watch out, you might stretch out your asshole. No one ever gives you this vital piece of information. Well, let me tell you, just in case this episode hasn't been too helpful, as the name would imply just yet, when you get on a jet ski, you might just stretch out your asshole, and it's very unpleasant. I don't recommend it. As long as you're aware of it, you can kind of avoid it. But once that asshole is stretched out, once you've done it, kind of blew it out for the day, everything, every little turn hurts. because you're exacerbating the pre-existing condition, you know? So it's terrible. It's a very terrible thing to feel, a stretched out butthole that, I don't know, and it's not stretched out in a way of, you know, like I would imagine if you put something in there. It's not that way. It's more of like if someone grabbed it with their hands and just pulled it apart. This is getting awful and graphic. I was worried we were going to go too long on this show without getting gross. So thank God I worked that out for all of us, huh? Now we can, you know, I really under the wire got it in there. The asshole stretch out, pull apart. Talk here. I should probably go. I think that'll do it, right? That'll probably satisfy us as far as, well, I don't know what you're all getting out of this, but that I'm sure was it. I'm sure that covered it. Thanks for listening once again. I can't believe you're all still listening. You know, we've almost made it to 100 episodes. You know, I told myself when I started, I was like, let's get started, let's do some stuff, and you know, if you make it to 100 episodes, then maybe we can talk about doing bigger things with this. I don't know what that means, but doing something fun, spending a little money on equipment or something like that. So we're getting close, man. A couple more months or so, we'll be there, episode 100. I can't believe this has been over 100 hours, you know, of just listening to my ramblings. But thank you all for listening and visiting the website and reading anything and, you know, reposting things and reblogging shit and all that stuff. I appreciate it. I see it. I don't always comment on it on the Facebook even when I see it because I feel like it's weird. Because I don't want to be the only one who comments on you repost my thing and then I say thanks for reposting my thing or like it. But I guess I should. I should probably just start hitting that like button, right? Because I do like it. I like that you've reposted. I think it's that I want to imply that I like that you posted it. Not that I'm in love with my own shit that much that I'm like, hey, I like this thing. It's like, I like that you posted this thing. That's the thing. Anyway, those are some complicated emotions, huh? Which are not well expressed through Facebook. Okay. Talk to you guys later.